This time we'll call upon our brother Marco to exhort us, entitled, Where Was God?
Good morning, brethren and friends. It's going to seem strange when we miss the little things. I don't think I can make up for Ina's cough. This is a question which I've discovered, if I ask it as I do the readings, I come up with some pretty amazing things. We'll start with reading Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other wild creature that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God say, You shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God said, You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit, and she ate it, and also gave to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Where was God? Take a look for a moment at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Verses 12 through 13. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Where was God? John chapter 14. Verses 6 through 7. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth you know him and have seen him. Where was God? If we continue the reading in this chapter, John 14, verses 8 through 11, the Lord Jesus answers this question. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So Jesus says the Father was in him. God was in him. Verses 18 through 20 of this same chapter. I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So for those who love the Father and the Son, where is God? He's in them. Not only God, but the Lord Jesus Christ is in them. Take a look for a moment at John chapter 15, verses 4 through 11. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. John chapter 16. Verses 25 through 30. I have said this to you in figures. The hour is coming when I shall no longer speak to you in figures, but tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, and because you have loved me, and have believed that I came from the Father and have come into the world. Oops, I'm sorry. Let me read that again. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you're speaking plainly, not in any figure. Now we know that you know all things and need none to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you believe? The hour is coming indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered. Every man to his home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said this to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, may be with me where I am, to behold my glory which thou hast given me in thy love for me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these know that thou hast sent me. I made known to them thy name, and I will make it known that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Where was God? So go back to Genesis chapter 3. And what we find, amazingly enough, although not really, once we have known the Father, God was right there. So the minute they sewed their fig leaves on, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He was right there. He wasn't hiding. He wasn't stepping back and saying, well, let's wait to see what happens. He was right there, ready for them to turn to him and ask, what's going on here? We're being told this, and you told us that. He was right there. Where was God at the temptation? Take a look at John 14, verse 10. So he was tempted in the desert, and he spoke scriptures. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. In the temptation of the wilderness, the Father was not in the angels that ministered to him. The Father was right there in the Lord Jesus Christ, expressing himself through his word, pointing Jesus in the right direction to which he should go and to how he should respond. And why is that? Because Jesus knew the Father was there, and he said, what do I need to do? What should I say? How should I answer? And the Father had answered him in the very words that he spoke. Chapter 16, verses 32 through 33. Again, he says, The hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, every man to his home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. Where is God? Where was God? Right there with Christ. That's what Jesus says. He was right there with him. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 20 through 22. I'll start with 21. And you who once were estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him. Provided that you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from one hope of the gospel which you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. You were once estranged. He now has reconciled in his body. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. But now in, we'll start with 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to the end. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. Where was God? In Christ. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we are now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received our reconciliation. Where was God? He was in Christ. Chapter 11, verse 15. For if their rejection, and that means the rejection of the Jews, not because God rejected them, but because they rejected him, means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? Where was God? In Christ. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 18 through 19. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Where was God? So if you take a minute and look at the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on that cross, not only do we see the death of the flesh, and not only do we see a man who committed no sin, but we see God in that man reconciling us to him. He was right there in the Lord Jesus Christ, not outside looking down at his son, not standing next to him. He was in him, which means he felt every single pain that the Lord Jesus felt. He knew everything. And despite all of that, he's still saying, I'm right here. I'm right here. You can come to me. I'm right here. Take a look for a moment at Daniel chapter 9. Verse 24. The prophet Daniel speaks, 70 weeks of years are decreed concerning your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity. The word atone is the same as reconcile. To bring everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. The most holy place was in the Lord Jesus, because that's where the Father was, reconciling the world unto himself, desiring to bring peace. So where is he now? I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus answered and said to him also, If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Where is he now? He's inside you and me. What's he doing there? He's trying to reconcile people to himself. And he's not just there alone. He's there with his son. We have a double reconciliation. Because the two worked as one. So where is he now? He's in us. What's he doing there? Reconciling the world unto himself through us, through Christ. So I encourage you to ask the question, where was God as you do your daily readings? You'll find some amazing things will happen.